Welcome to Birth on Film, a podcast discussing and analysing depictions of pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum in popular culture. We are your hosts, Emma, a midwife,
and James, her mid-husband, coming to you from Ngunnawal country in the Australian Capital Territory.
Welcome to episode 5, and this week we are covering the 2011 film Twilight Breaking Dawn, Part 1. It is the fourth installment of a 5-series saga.
Based on 4 books written by Stephanie Meyer.
The synopsis goes, in the fourth installment of the Twilight saga, a marriage, honeymoon, and the birth of a child bring unforeseen and shocking developments for Bella and Edward.
This one stars Kristen Stewart as Bella and Robert Pattinson as Edward.
Lots of other people.
It's such a huge cast in this one, I'm not going to talk about barely any of them.
Yes. It was directed by Bill Condon.
And made a heap of money. It cost $127 million to make, but made $712.2 million.
Yeah, huge. Despite its 25% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes with a 60% audience score.
Yeah, clearly one that had an audience because it's the fourth in a series of 5 films and they were all like smash hits one after the other. And had a series of books that people loved. So what do you remember of this movie before we started doing this project into it?
I had read the whole series of books when they first came out and I had seen the whole series of movies, but I think I'd only seen this movie once.
Mm.
I didn't have really strong memories of it. Like, I knew where it sat in the sequence and I could probably, like, tell you a little bit about what had happened before and what sort of happened after it, but I couldn't remember some of the finer details.
I did not read the books at all. I did not watch any of these in the cinema, but I did watch them. I think I watched them by myself just because I knew that I'd missed like a touchstone of culture at some point. Very important question, Emma. Team Jacob, Team Edward.
I don't have a team.
I also don't remember if that was we want Bella to hook up with Man 1 or Man 2, or I personally like Man 1 or Man 2 better.
So I guess a bit of backstory before we go into this fourth installment. The two main characters are Bella and Edward. Bella is a regular human. In the first movie, she's in, I think, her last year of high school, and she changes schools. She moves from Arizona to Washington State in America.
Yeah.
And at the new school, she meets a boy named Edward.
Yeah.
But there's something unusual about him, and lo and behold, he turns out to be a vampire, and he's got a vampire family.
He's, like, fixated on her from the beginning. In a way, because she smells good or has thoughts or something.
There's like a bit of mutual infatuation.
Yeah.
So yes, they fall in love. And then in the second movie, they fall out of love. And then her best friend reveals himself to be a werewolf. The third movie, they're back in love. And they decide that they're going to get married before Bella can be turned into a vampire. And so that leads to this movie.
Yeah, the stage is set. A proposal has been made. I assume
yes.
Edward proposed to Bella because that's tradition. And we're in the lead up to the wedding.
Yes, so this movie opens with the scene of Jacob, who's the werewolf ex-boyfriend, angry about receiving a wedding invitation.
That's right.
But instead of, like, it goes through a couple of scenes of, like, Bella's dad being teary about the wedding invitation and her mum being really excited about it. And then we see Bella trying on her wedding shoes.
Yeah, ridiculously high, silky shoes.
Yes, for a girl who is played as very clumsy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot that was a defining character trait, as she falls over all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they make comment in that early scene that this wedding has had a really fast turnaround.
Yeah.
And shortly thereafter, I think, mentioned that she's only 18 years old.
Yeah, so they met in late high school, and presumably she's finished high school now because
yes, they graduated in maybe the previous movie.
And now she's 18, and Edward is hundreds of years old.
Yes.
He appears to be like an 18-year-old boy, because he got turned when he was young, but he's old.
Yes.
He's like 400 years old or something.
Yes. Yeah. I can't remember exactly, but yes.
Yeah.
So it's the night before the wedding. She goes to bed and then she has a really vivid dream of walking down the aisle. Everyone in the audience is wearing white.
Yep.
She gets to the altar and then suddenly turns around and everybody's gone and then pans to them all dead, covered in blood.
Yeah.
And it feels a little bit like a bad omen. But then she does wake up the next morning and everything does seem okay. Starts getting ready for the wedding. There's a snippet in this of one of the friends at the wedding saying, do you think Bella will be showing?
Yeah, because they...
Well, because they're 18 and their wedding has been like a two-week turnaround type thing.
Yeah, from what half of the attendees to the wedding know, they're both just regular humans. So Edward is a weirdo, but is just an 18-year-old kid as well. So they think he's knocked her up and they're getting married for that old story.
So then we have a wedding scene.
Yeah, we've got the cold bloods on one side and the live bloods on the other.
Nothing particularly special there. And then the wedding reception with the most awkward wedding speeches.
Yeah, they...
On film.
They picked some terrifically bad wedding speeches, except for Edward's, which was quite nice.
During the wedding reception, we have a scene with Bella and Jacob. Jacob, who's shown up sort of out of the blue to the wedding after, I guess, refusing to go. And she says to Jacob, like, I'm going on my honeymoon immediately after this. He says to her, like, what's the point of a honeymoon? And Bella says, well, it's going to be as real as anyone else's. I guess alluding to the fact that they're going to have sex on their honeymoon.
Yeah.
And he...
flips his banana.
Yeah, loses it. At that point, Edward comes into the scene and Jacob yells at him, you're going to kill her. It's this really, like, intense moment.
Yeah, because Jacob's in love with Bella and has accepted that he lost the duel for her love and is okay with that and just wants to be a friend, but obviously wants her not to die horribly and thinks that Edward and her having some sex will result in her bloody gory death.
They don't say it explicitly in this movie, but I think there was something in one of the other movies that, like, if they were to have sex while she's human and he's vampire, that he's too strong, that he might break her.
So there's a nerd touchstone about this particular thing that is about Superman and Lois Lane. There's an essay that was written in the early internet days called Man of Steel, Woman of Kleenex. And basically the whole thing talks about even if he was able to control his intentional physical actions during sex, when he ejaculates, he's going to be shooting a shotgun into her lower abdomen.
Yeah.
Regardless of anything else. Like, even if he's very, very careful because he's Superman super, super, super strong.
Yeah.
He's the involuntary contraction of those muscles and all that is going to result in a shotgun blast and kill her regardless. Yeah. Which I don't think they ever... Well, they probably have by now dealt with in canon comics. But I don't know, in this, they seem to be talking about him losing control and, like, breaking her spine or something.
Yeah, so it sort of sets a tone. Then we see the wedding send-offs and then they arrive in Rio de Janeiro for their honeymoon. Well, just passing through Rio de Janeiro, they end up on a small secluded island.
Yeah, and this is prefaced by nobody except for, I think, some of the vampires knowing that they're going where they're going. Bella basically takes a mystery flight with Edward and they go somewhere not to be found.
So they're in their fancy honeymoon suite. She asks for a few human minutes.
She does all of the normal ablutions you do on a daily basis, but she, like, scrubs her teeth and she scrubs her arms and she...
shaves her legs.
Shaves her legs again. Presumably she just did that, like, 6 hours ago.
Yes.
I guess it's just trying to make everything perfect. But she also seems exceptionally nervous to me. That's yes. How I read part of this scene playing out. And yeah, then she opens the bag to put on something and finds her in these sexy knickers.
Yes. And to be really clear here, she's losing her virginity.
Yes.
So it's partly that, but partly that she's about to have sex with a vampire. So then we do reach the point where they're finally having sex in the bedroom and the bed is breaking and it's all a bit awkward, isn't it?
Yeah. We don't really see that much of it.
And then it sort of does cut away quite quickly to the next morning and it pans around and the room is a big mess. There's feathers from the pillows everywhere and the bed is broken.
But she's very clearly blissed out.
Yes. She is then in the bathroom looking super happy.
I was not sure when I was watching it whether it was a montage of more sex being had or replays of the previous night.
Yes.
Turns out it was replays of the previous night.
Yeah, she's replaying it all. And Edward comes in and says to her, I'm glad that you're here, indicating to the bruises on her body.
The first thing he says to her is, how badly are you hurt?
Yes.
Expecting it to be really, really bad.
He says, that's it, not again.
Yeah.
We're not doing this again.
Not again while you're a pitiful human.
Yeah, she's really mad. And then there's just this sequence of them on honeymoon together and almost getting to the point of having sex again, but then...
he runs away. Then she has a dream where the playfulness goes too far for Edward and they actually have some more sex. And then she wakes up mad that it's not real.
Yes, that's right. And at the same time, they have a scene with Jacob talking about what Edward will say when Bella inevitably ends up dead.
We cut back to Edward and Bella's honeymoon, and he's gone off to the mainland to hunt, presumably because he needs some more blood to keep going, and we get to see what Bella wants to eat this morning.
Yeah, so it's a scene in the kitchen, and she's like cooking chicken, but eating lots of other weird food combinations, like peanut butter and...
Yeah, there was another thing.
Yes.
That she threw in the mix. It was weird.
And then she suddenly realizes that some of the chicken's a little bit undercooked, and she rushes off to the toilet and has a huge vomit. And at that point, Edward gets back and is obviously concerned for her. And then she notices the tampons in her toiletry bag and says something about her period being late. When was our wedding?
Yeah. How many days since the wedding? It's been 14 days.
14 days.
And then she says, my period is late.
My period's late. And that actually annoyed me because of the timeline again around pregnancy. She could have been ovulating, say, that first night of the honeymoon, so the night of the wedding.
Yeah.
And this could be 14 days later.
Yeah.
But her period's not late then.
Yeah, okay.
It's due.
Yeah. She should be worrying about when it's going to happen.
Yes.
Not worrying about it being
the too sort late. Of the implication was that it's like a week late.
Yeah, no, they played the scene wrong. Yes. Absolutely. It should have been a week after that, at least.
Anyway, so, yeah, she says her period's late. And then she stands in the mirror and notices that her belly has changed.
There's a shot that we've seen a lot of times in this that is repeated here with its own spin, which is a woman standing in front of mirror lifting up shirt, turning slightly to the sides to see if they've got a protruding belly like a baby bump. And in this case, she does. Sort of, not really, like a little, teeny tiny little belly.
And she says, oh, it's impossible. Can this happen? Indicating, like, can pregnancy between human and vampire even happen? And then suddenly something from within her womb moves.
Yeah, pause for a bit here, huh? On the fact that he's a vampire who's been, like, a dead human for a long time, I guess you could say. She's a young, fertile woman. They had sex with no contraception of any kind. Definitely there was no condoms mentioned. She doesn't appear to be on any contraception herself.
No.
He's a vampire, so what? I don't know. But they don't know if it's possible. Offhand, they don't know if it's possible. So instead of taking necessary precautions, we're going to assume that it's not possible.
Yes.
It just seems like a very, well, I guess she's 18, but he's 155 or whatever. She can be naive, but he shouldn't be.
No.
And he seems disgusted at this point, by the way.
Yes.
He seems offended by its existence.
Yes. Yeah, she's worried. He's panicked. Then we have a scene with the housekeeper who comes back to the house to check that Bella's alive. We've previously seen them, and Edward had mentioned that they seem to know that something's up with Edward and his family. And this woman comes back in to see if everything's okay. Edward asks her, do you know of anything like this happening, indicating to Bella being pregnant?
Yeah.
And she gets close to Bella, reaches out towards her belly, and then just says the word death and disappears.
Yeah, not particularly useful. But it does set the tone for the rest of what's going on.
Yes. So then Edward makes a decision that they've just got to go back to America ASAP. And he says to Bella, don't worry, Carlisle will get that thing out. Edward just wants to fix his situation and be done with it and move on with life. But Bella is immediately somewhat invested. We then sort of skip.
Yeah, we have a time skip here.
Yeah, about 2 weeks later.
Yep. So she's been pregnant for 4 weeks.
Yes. And we have Jacob visiting Bella at the vampire house. And he doesn't know that he's going to visit Bella. He thinks he's going to confront Carlisle, who's the vampire father, about why Bella hasn't returned from her honeymoon and why she's telling her father that she's still sick and can't travel.
Yeah.
And what he finds is Bella is there. He gets invited in and she looks awful.
Yeah.
She looks really sick.
She looks gaunt.
Yes. And then she stands up to show Jacob the truth. And she's super pregnant.
Yeah.
6-7 months pregnant looking at this point. Jacob obviously has questions. I mean, we've all got questions, right? Because we've sort of been told, oh, it's 2 weeks later, but she's now hugely pregnant.
Yeah.
And Carlisle, who I will note is a doctor.
Yeah. In response to Jacob's question of what is it?
Yeah. He says, we don't know. Ultrasounds and needles won't penetrate the embryonic sac. And then it goes on to explain that whatever it is strong and fast growing.
Oh, it's so funny. The ultrasounds and needles won't puncture the sac.
I know, it just goes against science.
I mean, I jokingly said in the moment, sound goes through pretty much everything. I don't know that an ultrasound would work if you, like, stuck a piece of metal shielding in front of a baby, but, like, you'd still get a signal back.
Yes. So I guess they're sort of suggesting that this amniotic sac, or that the uterus, has become, like, a uterus of steel
to yeah.
protect the growing baby, question mark, because they've actually got no proof. They admit they've got no proof that it is a baby.
Yeah, she could just have a tumor.
But she is guarding it and is saying that it is her baby. And then there is, like, quite a bit of fighting about
yeah,
what it is and why she's even in this situation. And Bella says to Jacob, it's like this miracle or something.
Yeah.
That's the reason she gives for holding onto it.
Yeah. The vampires and also Jacob are divided into two camps of, we need to not have this thing happen, and but it's Bella's baby, let her decide.
Yeah.
/ it's a miracle, let's keep it.
Yes.
And they've come up with a plan to try and have her survive this, because already it's already only been 2 weeks, and it seems to have eaten her nutrients.
Yes.
And taken a real toll on her so far. So they plan to let this take its course and then turn her into a vampire at the last minute.
Yes.
Because in this fiction, the vampire venom, the stuff that they turn into a vampire by using venom from the teeth or whatever, also has magical healing properties. That saves the day in a lot of circumstances.
Yes. Then we have a bit of a strange werewolf scene where Jacob reports back to the other werewolves about what's happening with Bella, and that they've sort of created a vampire, which is against the treaty between the vampires and the werewolf. There are a lot of scenes sort of like werewolf v vampire that aren't actually all that important in the yep. scheme of things. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
So then we have another scene of the vampires finally, it seems, trying to research what is happening to Bella.
It looks like it's just Edward stress Google searching, yeah.
He Googles the term
Immortelicum.
Yes, which brings up just a bunch of horrific scenes.
Strangely, when you Google it now, it's just Twilight stuff that comes up.
Of course it is. Of course it is. I guess setting the tone that this could be really bad.
Yeah, kind of leaning on the, even if Bella survives this, it's an abomination. It's a horrible creature that's going to be a goblin and steal babies or whatever.
Yes.
Here we get some more medicine.
Yes. So Carlisle has set up like a whole
suite
medical unit in the house for Bella. He has somehow done some x-rays on her at home.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about where the x-rays came from.
The scene opens like, and there's x-rays up, and he says to Bella, your rib is cracked. They're standard x-rays, except that then there's this huge black ball in what would be her abdomen. Like, it just looks like a giant tumour.
It looks like it's from at least her lower ribs.
Yes.
To her pelvis.
They've made her bigger again in this scene, but they don't really give it a time frame. Like,
yeah.
We're sort of thinking maybe this is another week later, but she now looks full-term pregnant.
If you've seen an x-ray of a pregnant woman.
In a normal pregnancy, you can see the baby's bones.
Yeah.
Or the start of the baby's bones.
Yeah. Of course.
Yes.
But we can't x-ray through. Oh, we can't x-ray through it either. No. I didn't. So it's impenetrable to high-frequency light and ultra-frequency sound and also needles.
And needles. I mean, and Carlisle says in this scene that the fetus is not compatible.
The fetus isn't compatible with mother. It's growing too fast. It's eating up all your nutrients.
I guess they're really driving home that this pregnancy is moving at an alarming speed.
I wanted to see if you noticed something else in this. In her growth, in her belly growth, does she also appear to be gaining breast tissue? I think she did, which is a bit counterintuitive to me that she would be.
You know, but it's tricky though.
Yeah.
So by this scene, she looks really skinny.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And I ended up Googling, did Kristen Stewart lose weight for this movie?
Yeah.
And I ended up finding an interview where she said she toned up for all the movies, but she didn't lose weight in particular for this movie, and that the weight loss in this movie was all computer generated.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, the next scene that we're about to talk about, well, the next scene that there is her in the bath, and it's like a scene just focused on
that she's a bag of bones. Yeah, she's skeletal. She did say that the skinniness, I guess, particularly around her face.
Yeah.
Because she looks good.
Yeah.
That was all computer generated. We're getting to a point where her pregnancy is looking comically big.
Yes.
Against that skinny frame.
Yeah.
Then we see her recuperating on the couch.
She's got, at this point, she now has a cannula in.
Yes, and that's right.
Presumably saline running. It's not clear.
Yeah, there's some sort of drip going.
So she's in pain and she's cold and Jacob's in the room. And I think lore-wise, it's been established that werewolves are really warm.
Yes.
Like they generate excess body heat. And vampires, because they're dead bodies walking around, are cold.
Yes.
So she's like, I'm cold. And she puts a blanket on. And then Jacob's like, I got this. And like cuddles her a little bit because he's got his excess body warmth. I don't know how we're not constantly reminded of this, but we're reminded that Edward is actually psychic and is listening to everybody's thoughts all the time. That's right. Except for Bella's, because that's why he's in love with her, because he can't read her thoughts.
Yeah.
Talking about why the baby is eating up all the nutrients in Bella's body. And he thinks to himself, the baby wants more blood to suck. And Edward hears this and goes, actually, that's a good idea. Maybe the baby does want to suck some blood because baby's thirsty. Baby's a vampire, we're assuming at this point.
Yes.
So interesting, attitudes have flipped. It's now not a tumor or a weird alien creature or whatever. It's a vampire baby.
Yes.
We've decided. Carlisle runs off and grabs the O negative blood he's got hanging around because he's a doctor and that's what we have at home. Yeah.
No one smelt it out.
Nope. He's got it in like one of those drug meal bags or whatever, and then he brings it into the room, cuts the top off the IV bag and dumps it into a cup, and then they're like, what are you going to make her drink it? And he says, it's the fastest way to test the theory. I'll note that she has an IV in.
Yes.
She's got a cannula currently
running. Yeah, but no, he puts blood into, it looks like a milkshake, and she drinks it, and it's quite gross.
Yeah.
It's not really how that works.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
If you want to get blood into a person, you put it through the cannula that she already has.
You mean where the blood goes.
Where the blood goes.
What about if you want to get the blood to the baby, which is what they're trying to do?
The best way would still be through the mother's bloodstream.
Not through her belly?
Not through her stomach.
Why not through her stomach?
Connected to the uterus at all.
No.
No. So the things that we consume in pregnancy that go through our stomach, you know, can end up in the bloodstream and can end up crossing the placenta to the baby.
Yeah.
But that's a slow way to get there. The fastest way would be directly into the mother's bloodstream, because that bloodstream then crosses the placenta into the baby's bloodstream. That's what sort of doesn't make sense here, in that she has this sort of like immediate recovery from having a sip of blood, but wouldn't work that way.
Yeah.
If they just hooked her up to a bag of blood, you'd be like, yeah, you would start to feel good.
Yeah.
Because...
So looking at this conundrum from the other side, it is implied then that the baby is doing what? Is taking more blood through the placenta than a normal baby or something? Is it eating her blood? The baby's fangs in the uterus wall drain the blood. Is that what is going on here?
I guess they don't really explain that, but maybe that is this overall suggestion from the writer here, that because this baby is part human, part vampire, that it is leaching more blood from Bella.
Baby is half vampire, half human. Is the placenta half vampire, half human?
Ooh, yes, because...
Placental genetics is the same as baby genetics.
Yeah, yeah. The placenta belongs to the baby. So, yes, the placenta would also be...
Placenta's got fangs.
Yeah, placenta's got fangs. That's the answer.
Cool. I'm actually pretty happy with that answer. That was good. That was good noodling.
A short while later, we have a scene with Bella looking quite a bit better, and Edwin can suddenly hear the baby's thoughts.
Yeah. Every time Bella's talking, he gets psychic signals from the baby about how the baby enjoys hearing Bella talk. Remember, he's psychic.
He's a psychic vampire. This is the point where he gets on board.
Yeah.
With the pregnancy, with the idea of having a baby.
He says, they're assuming at this point that the baby's a boy.
Yes.
He's like you, good and pure. And that reminded me in this movie, and probably all these movies, that there's this weird streak of purity culture that goes through it. Bella's a good Christian, she's a virgin, and she...
They got married before she could become a vampire.
Yeah, yeah. Bella's purity is also what made her not want to give up the baby when it was just a weird thing to Belly. Like, it's a very weird streak.
Yes. So then, there is this sort of panic that Carlisle is running out of blood.
Yeah, there's a background that we haven't really talked about how the werewolves have, like, staked out the place and nobody can leave. Yeah.
So not only is Carlisle running out of O negative blood that he had been keeping in the house, the vampires are starting to get thirsty themselves. The vampires in this family sustain themselves on animal blood only and not human blood, but they do need to go out into the woods to find an animal. Anyway, so they make an agreement that there's going to be a breakthrough tonight, that they're going to get through the werewolves, and Carlisle and his wife and one of the other vampires are going to go
fight some wolves and get some blood.
Anyway, that all happens, and it's a big dramatic scene.
And that leaves in the house Edward, Jacob, Bella, and two of the other vampire children.
Yes. And I will note at this point that Bella is very pregnant looking, like beyond full-term pregnant looking, is just ridiculous looking. She's saying like she's uncomfortable, and despite drinking blood regularly, she is looking really ill.
We don't exactly know enough about this, but it's been a short pregnancy. It's only been, let's say, about 8 weeks max.
Max, yeah.
We haven't got an exact timeline, but we don't know when the term would normally be up. We don't have a frame of reference for how long a baby vampire hybrid baby thing gestates for.
Yeah.
So they could be in for another 6 years with this.
Yes, they say that it's going faster than a normal human pregnancy, but they don't say how fast.
Or what the milestones are.
No.
They have no idea.
So, of course, the night that the doctor leaves the house is the night that she goes into labour. And it starts very dramatically.
I don't think that she's ever in labour. I think she gets hurt, and that's what makes them want to do the operation.
Yeah.
Let's walk through it one step at a time here.
Yes.
They're talking about baby names, and she gives them the dumbest baby names in the world. And then she's going to take a sip of blood, and she drops her blood, and she goes to grab it. And some part of the motion of grabbing it makes her break her spine, and she falls to the ground.
Her spine dramatically breaks. And then she's moved. We don't see it, but she's then suddenly in the medical room that's been set up in the house.
Yep.
And everybody's panicked.
Yeah.
And
somebody's on the phone to Carlisle.
Yes, and saying, the placenta must have detached.
Oh, I thought they were saying the placenta must not detach.
No.
And they were like, what are you going to do about that? You can't even ultrasound the thing.
And I think that they're sort of indicating that she is in labour, or that there's something happening with the pregnancy. Someone's trying to give her an injection of morphine.
Which they seem to do into her, like, calf or shin.
Yeah.
Somewhere lower leg. It's
a really strange place to do an injection. And Edward is sort of begging them to give the morphine a bit of time to work, but they're all panicked and they're like...
And Bella says, get him out of me. He's suffocating.
Yes, that's right. One of the vampire children grabs a scalpel and starts what I would assume is a cesarean section, or as close to a cesarean section as somebody who has no medical skill can do.
Yeah, they're cutting into her and she's had an injection of morphine, which has not had time to take effect and probably wouldn't be enough anyway, right?
An injection of morphine is inadequate for what they're doing to her.
Yeah. They're just slicing directly into her belly at this point.
Yes. And there's quite a bit of blood, and then the vampire sees the blood, like it's on her hand, and she sort of goes into vampire mode and has to be taken out of the room.
So I think both the vampire kids take each other out.
Yes. And so it's just leaving Jacob and Edward in the room to finish this cesarean.
Jacob says the best line ever to say to somebody who's in medical distress, which is, keep your heart beating!
Yes,
because you're right. In control of that consciously.
Edward goes to finish the cesarean with his mouth.
We're seeing this from Bella's perspective at this point, so it's we don't have details, but his head goes out of frame towards her lower abdomen.
And does we hear all bloodied.
Pretty sure we hear a chomping sound. Like sound. And yeah, he comes up all bloodied.
There is a bit of a view of her lower abdomen, and it's just gore and intestines. It's actually really gross looking.
Yeah, it's pretty extreme. It's just a couple frames of it, but it's like, oh, she looks like a train's hitter. We don't know where she broke her back exactly. Later on, we see some images that make it look like it's like lower spine.
Lumbar spine, yeah.
Yeah. Would she have feeling for the cesarean if her spine's been broken?
That's a really good point.
And her nerves severed.
The dramatic way that her spine break should easily be paraplegic.
Yeah.
Maybe wouldn't have any feeling from a certain point down.
Mm.
But this is very much portrayed as if she can feel the whole thing, and it's horrific. And then the baby is born. We suddenly see a very, like a newborn-ish baby.
Yeah.
Covered in a lot of blood.
Yeah. Crying. No amnio fluid, no gunk. Just blood.
Just blood. No mention of a placenta. There's an accord. Just a baby. And there's this really tender moment of Bella holding her baby daughter. And it just seems to go for a really long time.
She's bleeding out.
She's
got her whole abdomen on show.
We've had brief glimpses of her intestines hanging out. Edward takes the baby and Jacob starts CPR.
Yeah, so Bella has the tender moment and is clearly fading out as it's happening. While the characters in the movie seem to have forgotten that she's bleeding out and in terrible pain, she hasn't, and she's dying.
Yes.
And then she effectively dies.
Yes. Jacob has a very poor attempt at doing CPR and then takes the baby so that Edward can inject his venom right into Bella's heart with his ginormous syringe and needle.
It looks like the scene in Pulp Fiction where they inject the lady's heart with adrenaline, which is what I thought was happening originally until he clarifies later, that was my venom.
Yes.
So, okay, cool. That's your venom. We're doing vampire magic now.
And we pan out and there's blood everywhere.
She's wearing a medical gown.
She's wearing a gown, yes.
When did that happen?
I don't know, but it's been pulled right down, but there's blood soaking through that and there's blood all under her.
Yeah.
It's quite gory. Now, Edward trying to do CPR or sort of like pushing the pushing at her heart, I guess, to get the venom to go through. I don't know. And then he starts sort of like rabidly biting her all over.
I guess his thought process, which isn't fully explained, is, oh no, the venom isn't working. She needs more venom. So he like bites her neck and then her other side of her neck and then her arm and then her leg and then her other arm. And then,
yes.
Yeah, just all over. I think this is the right point to pause and talk about what the birth plan actually was.
Yes, they never say.
No, so they said that they're going to turn her at the last minute is the words that we get, the description we get.
Yes.
Was that always Edward here spit into this jar? I'm guessing that's how venom happens. We're going to put it in a big needle and we're going to wait for whatever label looks like. And then once the baby's out, jab her in the heart? Was that always the plan?
I don't know. They never explained whether they were going to wait for labor or they were just going to reach a point and
make a decision.
Induce labor or go straight to a cesarean. Obviously, he was somewhat equipped to do a cesarean.
Yeah, somewhat equipped.
Of course, the actual doctor isn't there when the baby's coming, so it ends up being a hack job.
Yes, yeah, so all the vampire daddies out there listening who are about to do this to another woman, make sure you tell your sons and daughters the plan.
Yes. Yeah, like there seems to be just no, or at least in the movie, there seems to be no planning.
Yeah, it's possible that this is well described in the book and makes perfect sense, but
not in the movie.
Not in the movie.
She looks dead at this point.
Yep.
And they don't really know if the vampire venom is working or what's going on with her. Jacob goes off to kill Renesmee. He's sort of having this moment where
he kind of promised that he would earlier, except it was a bit of a distraction for the vampires to get out. But now he looks like he's about to make good on it because Bella's dead anyway. He's got no
And like may as well kill this baby that's killed his best friend. So we have this scene where Jacob goes into a room where Renesmee, the baby, is being held by one of the vampire children. What had a normal newborn before is now still the size of a newborn, but has the weirdest computer generated face.
Yep.
Like animated face.
It's Uncanny Valley is what it is. It's like, it's a bit too early for them to have done this with this technology.
Yes, it was very strange.
Yeah.
And then Jacob imprints on her.
Yeah. We haven't described what that is.
It's come into the, I guess, the Twilight lore.
So there's this werewolf thing that they see, like love at first sight. Jacob sees the baby and immediately goes, oh, this is the person who I love forevermore. And I think the same thing had happened between him and Bella. And it's not necessarily reciprocated, but anyway, that's...
Yes, it's like the truest, deepest love, or however. They sort of describe it something like that. Then the werewolves can't harm Renesmee because Jacob has imprinted on her. The next morning we see Bella still looking dead, being cleaned and dressed and laid out as if in preparation for a funeral. Except then we cut to internal scenes of her body.
Just bits of her body, random bits.
Random biological scenes of her body
metamorphosing into vampire, yes. I would say, and being repaired at the same time.
And we do see like the broken rib from earlier and the broken spine from earlier
magically
suddenly heal. And on the outside, we see her skin starting to look healthier and her hair starts to look healthier.
Yeah, so I had problems with that because she's a vampire now. She wouldn't look healthier, she'd still look dead. And then we see her life flashing before her eyes.
Yes. In reverse.
In reverse. So we see like scenes of the wedding and then scenes of the previous movies and then scenes of her childhood and then scenes of her very young childhood and then scenes of possibly her being an egg.
Yes. It's
not quite clear what that last bit is.
And then like a moment and she's a vampire and her eyes suddenly open and they're red.
Oh.
End of movie. For people that are interested in pregnancy but also in postpartum, we were really disappointed because we were like...
But what happens now?
What happens to the baby? So then we did go and watch the first 15 minutes.
At least 20 minutes, I reckon, yeah. Yeah,
of Breaking Dawn Part 2. Oh, dear.
So when I asked about the birth plan earlier...
Yes.
And, like, they plan to do whatever with Venom and make her into a vampire. Okay, fine. In the end of that movie, nobody seemed sure... how long it would take. Maybe she's gone through some extensive damage that's beyond what is normal for a person who's about to be turned into a vampire, maybe not. Edward's feverish biting and then them dressing her as if for a funeral makes me feel like they're all like, oh, she's dead. We biffed it.
Yeah.
We didn't get it right. We waited too long. She's too damaged. But then we see all these scenes at the end of the last movie and then leading to her waking up again of... or the things re-knitting together, we don't see her caesarean get turned into not a gaping wound.
Yes.
We don't hear an explanation as to what happened to her uterus or her placenta or any of the other material that got left in there from the very traumatic birth. And she's got red eyes implying that she's fed on a human, which I was immediately like, she's never done that. But she had through
the O negative blood
that she drank into her stomach.
Yes.
Which presumably is different to what a vampire does, but okay, that's fine.
So we start the second movie with montage of all her new super senses, that she's amazing, she's a vampire. She then goes out to feed and she can run fast and do all these amazing things. We get 10 minutes into that movie before she meets her baby.
Yep. She mentions the name and Edward's like, no, first we have to do cool vampire stuff. We'll get to that boring shurikenroll later on.
That just drove me bonkers. Yeah. Like, she's a brand new mother, as if her first priority wouldn't be to see her baby.
Yeah.
She's finally meeting her baby, who now looks 6 months old.
Yep.
Still has the weird, creepy, computer-generated face, but is, like, sitting up and has a full mouth of teeth.
So many teeth.
So many teeth. Maybe that's a vampire.
Like 12, 12 to 20 teeth.
Yes.
Human-looking teeth that don't look vampire-y, but okay. That's
true. Renesmee touches Bella on the cheek.
And Bella gets a thing happen to her. A vision, and it's Renesmee sharing her earliest memory, as it's explained by, I think, Edward.
Yeah, that she remembers being in utero, and that's her gift.
Yeah.
And then Jacob reveals to Bella that he has imprinted on Renesmee. Bella loses her mind.
Yeah.
It's a little bit tropey, the overprotective mother.
It is, but also...
it's also understandable because...
yeah.
They don't explain this whole imprinting idea very well, and there is sort of this undertone of... it being a teenage, bit sexual.
Yeah, like, it's like teenage hormone sexiness is what it kind of feels like.
And for like a grown man to be imprinting on a brand new baby is really creepy.
Yeah.
And she does go into this sort of like overprotective mode.
Beats the snot out of him, which is a new thing because she's a vampire now.
And then we didn't really go much beyond that because...
yeah, the only other note that I have...
kind of fell over at that point. There's no breastfeeding. There's no mention... In that early part of the movie of how Renesmee feeds, there's certainly no vision of like bottles or anything. It's all just...
the only thing they talk about her way of life is that she sleeps in someone's arms.
Yes.
Always in like one of the characters' arms.
So is like a normal human baby.
Yeah.
But it's also growing rapidly.
Yeah.
So Bella's been out cold for
maybe
24 hours and this baby is 6 months old.
You know, you may remember when you're a teenager and you're going through, like, growth spurts and your bones hurt all the time. Can you imagine that growing at the rate this baby's growing? But also
that human babies cry about that.
Yeah, that baby would be like, in agony.
When their, like, teeth come in and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And this baby has, in 24 hours, got a full mouth of teeth.
That would have been awful.
Yeah.
That kid would have been in proper agony.
So do you think it was realistic?
So, this is a vampire-human baby.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sits firmly in science fiction, so we can change the question to, is it plausible?
Yeah, so we're definitely talking about a bonkers one here. Is it plausible? No. No, I don't think it is. I think we fall off. We've got some magic here. The magic is vampires are real. The demands on the human body to grow a full baby in something like 2 months.
Maybe less.
Maybe less. Incorrect. Try again. You've got a dead person and a dead baby in several different ways.
I think I really struggled to understand why the speed for... the pregnancy. The setup with all the vampires is that they are fast and superhuman and amazing, but why make the pregnancy super fast?
Yeah.
There's really no explanation, at least in the movies, given about why that had to go on such a fast trajectory and how that sits in the bigger lore of these vampires. And we will note that these vampires sit really differently to...
We're not talking about Bram Stoker's Dracula here.
No. So there are some nuances in the Twilight vampires that don't exist in other vampires.
Things that are important about the vampires that I've picked up from this movie and my memories of the previous movies, they're powered by human blood or by blood, and they are unchanging because they are vampires. They don't age and they don't grow. This is a half one, half the other situation. So like that only partially applies, I guess, is the reason for the growth that this is a half human, half vampire that is being fed blood. And therefore growth is accelerated because it's getting the thing that powers the awesome vampire genes.
Maybe.
What does it mean to be half human and half vampire is a weird question.
Yes. And it doesn't get answered for us either.
No. No, of course not.
So for me, this pregnancy and this birth is not plausible. I don't understand the accelerated speed of it. I don't understand the, like, uterus of steel.
Yep. That's particularly baffling. That didn't need to be there. They could have known. There's no story reason or even fake medicine reason for the x-rays and the sonars, x-rays and the ultrasounds and the needles to not penetrate. Just tell us it's a baby. It's fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
What and about that then doesn't sit well with how that baby's even born, that they were able to do a cesarean on a uterus that had been otherwise impenetrable.
Maybe that's in the books. Maybe the knife work we saw, the cut, was enough to get the tissue and muscle away from the uterus, and then Edward had to use his teeth to puncture the sac. Maybe that's
why he had to go in there with his mouth.
Maybe that was all part of the plan. Nothing can penetrate impenetrable objects except for vampire teeth.
Maybe.
What about the conception, where they have sex one time and the vampire produces whatever vampire semen that is?
Yes.
And the human gets pregnant from it first go.
I mean, you can get pregnant first go.
Yeah.
She is 18, so
she got some eggs.
She's fertile. I do have a big question mark over Edward's fertility. We know that sperm quality goes down
over age,
over life.
Yeah, sure.
He's very old.
True, but he does drink blood. By which I mean most bodily fluids were blood, and then they became something else, right? Yes. Like your saliva is blood that got turned into saliva, and your lactating woman's milk is blood that got turned into milk,
yes,
etc. Semen, same deal?
Yes, essentially.
There's some weird things there. It's not plausible.
Not plausible. Let's just leave it at that. Not plausible.
Yeah.
Do they treat birth and pregnancy positively?
Very no.
Very no.
Very no. Bella's pretty happy about it, about the idea of it at the very least.
I can't get past that first scene of where they're assuming that she's pregnant with the housekeeper, witchy woman coming in and just saying death.
Yeah.
It really sets a bad tone for the pregnancy and the birth.
The actual process of growing a baby.
She looks so ill and awful for the majority of this movie.
Yeah, and everybody thinks she's going to die. Even she thinks she's going to die.
Yes.
Through something like this.
Beyond that, they think she's going to die, but that it's okay because she's having a miracle baby.
Definitely what she thinks, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and probably what some of the others think by the end of it.
Some of it's really hard to watch.
It's very much not woman friendly, no. Or at least real woman friendly at the very least.
The birth scene is awful.
Yeah. All of it is a nightmare scenario. It's what a woman, I imagine, is terrified of pregnancy being like.
But I think that the birth scene also is too gory. There are parts of the birth scene, particularly like where you can see bits of her intestine hanging out, and then the scene where she looks dead and there's just blood everywhere. I could imagine that those sorts of scenes are really triggering to anybody who's had an awful birth experience.
Yeah, yeah, you're not wrong.
And she dies, essentially, at the end of that scene.
The worst thing.
Well, she does, because you die to become a vampire.
Yep, she did.
So she dies in childbirth. That's not a positive portrayal of birth at all. So hard no to positive treatment. Was it entertaining?
Questionably so.
I can see how the Twilight saga was entertaining to people.
Yeah.
I don't think I found them overly entertaining myself, especially on this rewatch. I didn't find this movie entertaining. I don't know if that's just because they got so much wrong, or I was a bit caught up in some of the details not making much sense.
Yeah.
This movie at least was just a bit clunky.
Definitely was clunky, yeah. It spent a lot of time on things that didn't need to be, like, from an entertainment standpoint only, forgetting about that we're talking about birth here, we spent so long on, like, the wedding speeches and on them kissing unnecessarily, and then Like, every part of it was like, there's too much on this. Let's cut it down.
Yes.
Cut 20 minutes out of this.
Because they turned one book into two movies, and maybe that one book just needed to be one movie, but...
It's all because they wanted to end on the scene of her opening her eyes, and they ran it. It's, ooh, crows.
Yes.
Yeah. There was cool scenes of vampires fighting wolves, and I thought they were reasonably well done for, like, dumb entertainment value, but they didn't really need to be there in the story.
Well, maybe they do if you're big in Twilight. And
yeah, you can't have a tentpole action, well, action romance movie without having the action, can you?
No. I think, yes, this movie series, and this movie in particular, is entertaining to people who are entertained by Twilight.
Yeah.
I don't think we are its target market.
No, I don't think we are anymore. I think we might have been once upon a time.
Maybe. It's just a bit of a clunky movie.
There's a lot of lore in these movies that is tweaked or a little bit different from what you'd expect it to be. Most of it isn't explained. And then there's new stuff added on, which is either unexplained or unknown, like the whole stuff about the Immortalicum. We don't know what that is. We don't know what's going to happen. But also, I don't remember what vampires are supposed to do. So
yes,
is that part of my confusion?
Yeah, that this isn't hugely entertaining because... You have to come into this movie having read the books or
being deep in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Twilight saga is entertaining to people who have invested the time. That there's too much in this that sort of goes unsaid.
Yeah. That could be part of our problem with it. Anyway.
So no to entertaining.
Yeah, no, not really.
For us, at least.
That's it for today.
If you would like to contact us or find our socials, please check the show notes for links.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Birth on Film.